Today, Jim Alexander is gonna teach us, and we're excited about that.
Sure.
I'll just kick it off with a brief prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're amazed at your grace always, Lord, for your incredible love for us, Lord, so undeserved, but yet you love us unconditionally. And Lord, you sent your son Jesus to live and to suffer and die and live again for us so that we can have an eternal relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to pour our hearts out to you and cast all of our anxieties on you and to shout joyfully to you and to cry to you. Lord, we pray for everyone in the class, Lord, that is struggling physically, mentally, or spiritually. And Lord, they're all you allow and cause and work all things to plan for the good. But Lord, we do thank you for difficult times and the way you teach us and draw us closer to you. Lord, we know you have a purpose and a plan. And Lord, that's our hope. And Lord, so we're so thankful for that. But we do look forward to a day in heaven when there's no more crying and no more tears, no more pain. But Lord, we thank you for the time between now and then, which is the only time in all of eternity we'll have the privilege of facing these things with joy and with hope and with faith and love. And so Lord, we thank you for the privilege to worship you even in the most difficult times. Lord, we pray that you bless Jim as he leads us today. And Jesus, we pray in your great name. Amen.
We need to do anything with this.
Thank you. I leave no detail unaccounted. We're going to have an ice cream social. First thing I knew about that. Does anybody else know about this?
The trail blazer, not the stuff.
Oh, okay.
And John Litton's been blazing.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Good, good.
That ought to draw a lot of people.
That should. Don is incredible. Summer Sounds with John Livingston. Fantastic. Okay, ice cream social, July 22nd, 2 to 4 in the fellowship hall. Okay? This is fellowship hall. Yeah. He's one part of the fellowship hall. Okay, that would be great. All right, now. Then, laying the foundation. Anybody know what this is about?
Looks like a nursery folder.
Hey, I left this pass this around. Okay, Tom, please sign up for all of them.
You know, Tim, I don't think there's anybody that opens a class like you.
And that's not a compliment. Oh, I think it is. I really do. It says a lot about who we are. And we appreciate you, baby. Well, you know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Doriani challenged the session to session and pastors to go into our Sunday school communities and to talk about transition and talk about how do we prepare for transition? How do we welcome a new pastor well? So John and I started talking and we decided, hey, let's tag team this one. Well, John's not here. So this feels like half a lesson. Well, there you go. No, it was, obviously John's where he needs to be. He did let me know to pass on, that Judy is more alert each day. She's making some steady progress, but still needs your prayers. And they are super thankful for this class. All the outpouring of love, y'all kind of championed that well. So, keep it up, keep supporting. You know, we were just talking and, you know, Tim, as you opened it, you actually took the first few lines of what I was going to try to cover today. All the needs in the class. You mentioned Judy, Tom, Carl, Mildred. We got them all covered. We are a class that loves to pray and we are a class that knows how to lift each other up well in times of crises and adversity. So keep it up. You know, it's one of the privileges we get, maybe age and stage of life stuff. I don't know what it is, but the more adversity we face, you ever notice this? The best lessons you learn are not from what you succeed in, but what you fail in. Well, I think some of the most deepest truths of growing spiritually come as we are facing crises and as we are facing challenges, not just our own, but those of our dear friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ. It deepens my faith each and every day that I get to go in and pray with somebody and be there with and for them, either before a procedure or after they've come through it or with the passing of a loved one. And I know it does the same for you. We love to pray. We love to keep each other lifted before the throne, expecting God to do incredible things much better than we could ever do it. So I just wanted to do that before I moved into. I have had some time, even after I learned that John was not going to be able to be here today, to kind of focus some thinking as far as leadership, looking specifically at leadership transition in the Bible, trying to find some basic principles that we might be able to take to heart that might be helpful to us as we are where we are at the church today. How many of y'all were already in worship this morning? Raise your hand high. Great. How many of the rest of you are still about to go? You're going to hear an incredible sermon. Pastor Dan has been such a blessing to us. Having Dan and Debbie around, we almost got quite used to them, didn't we? And now it's time to make a transition again. But that's because that was God's plan. That was the purpose. And they have been such a great blessing. So we're going to take a few minutes now to just kind of look at what does the Bible help us understand about being prepared for transition. I think it was interesting for me, at least, as I was studying and looking, the admonition, be strong and courageous, occurs at least 11 times in the Old Testament, most of them with the context of some sort of transition. So it's 3 times given by the mouth of Moses, 5 times in the book of Joshua. It also appears twice from King David as he was passing the baton of the kingship from himself to his son Solomon, even once from King Hezekiah. Each one of these were in times of challenge, adversity, or transition facing God's people. And there are many other similar commands in Scripture as well that kind of keep us thinking in that same direction. We are told to wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Elsewhere we're told in the New Testament, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. And then also, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of you by your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. That's a very comforting verse in any time in our lives. But when we consider that God is so intimately, personally involved and caring for each one of us that he says to us, I've got you. I used to tell my daughters this, and it was maybe it sounded a little trite, but it spoke great truths as they would face different things. I said, God's got this. He has you, and he has this. We would just try to encourage them. Find your strength in the Lord. Well, whenever a new leader takes the helm, it seems like the unknowns of transition pretty much come front and center. There's things that are expected, but there's always things that are never expected. So when we look to that context, it's important that we see how does that affect the new leader and how does it affect those who are being led. And I can't think of any better passage for us to look at. If you take your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. You want to turn there and look at the few verses together with me. That's great. The chapter opens with the one who has been leading Israel now for 40 years, making a definite statement. A statement of transition. So I'll give you just a second to make sure you're there. But in chapter 31, it opens by Moses saying, I am 120 years old today. Now that's a prayer request right then and there. I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. Verse 3. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy the nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. But then he addresses the concern of the people that he's been leading in verse 6. See what he says there. To the Israelites, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Jesus would almost virtually quote that later, saying, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's how important this truth is. But as soon as Moses says it to the people of Israel, it'd be like me saying it to us as a church. He immediately then turns to the new guy. In verse 7, he turns to Joshua and he said to Joshua, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I think those are pretty emotion-packed words coming from a man who is 120, a man who probably is humanly speaking, very disappointed that he's not getting to lead them into the promised land. Remember, Moses lost his temper. He struck the rock twice instead of speaking to it. And God said, you don't get to go in. I'll show it to you from a mountaintop, but that's all you get. And yet here he is. He's not caught up in himself. He's caught up in what's God going to do in the future. So he speaks words of encouragement. He speaks words of challenge to the Israelites and to Joshua, their new leader. You know, I can't help but think Pam and I were talking about it this morning. We were in a Bible study years ago. Pam was able to take our daughter with her. And they were studying, you know, the Pentateuch and kind of the life of Moses. And, you know, for children, baby Moses stays a baby, right? I mean, he's always a baby. But when they get to this passage, Pam goes to her and says, oh, sweetheart, what did you study today? And Nicole looks at mommy, oh my, baby Moses grows very old. And the children of Israel choose their new line leader. The line leader is how they got from A to B. Somebody had to grab the rope and then be behind. But she kind of got the idea, I think. You know, maybe a little clarification came as she aged, but I think it's pretty good way to look at this. I think Moses understands, probably better than most, the task of leadership and the realities of a leadership change are daunting, especially as Israel is about to enter the promised land. I mean, this is not simply a passing of the baton of leadership. This is a equipping for a task that they couldn't even begin to comprehend what's it going to be like. Did anyone at this moment understand that they were going to cross the River Jordan on dry ground and they were going to start marching around this big city called Jericho? And as they marched around one day, another day, another day, another day, seven times on the last day, and the walls came and tumbled and counted. They couldn't have grasped what God was about to do because God's the God who does far more than we can ask for, imagine. More than we can even begin to think. So as Moses is preparing for transition, he's doing it with the little bit of insight that he has. It might be a good jump off point for us this morning, even to remind ourselves of, I think, something that it's fairly obvious. Change is challenging. You know the old saying, people don't like change? That's not quite it. It's people don't like change that they're not in charge of. That's what people don't like, right? We don't mind change if it's my idea. You know, hey, let's do it this way. Come follow me. You know, but when it's not my idea, that's when the hair stands up and, you know, all that starts to happen. People don't like change that they don't have control of. Well, Briarwood has been walking through a lot of change in recent years. We've looked at quite a bit of change, even in the last, I would say, 2.5-3 years. The Lord took both our founding pastor and our beloved senior pastor of 25 years home to glory. He brought in Dan Doriani. Did anybody know a lot about Dan? I sort of knew him because I had a couple of his books. But, you know, Dan Doriani came in. I'd never met Debbie. And boy, when I met her, I was like, that's the secret sauce. Dan's successful because of Debbie Dorian. And he had told us that too, but I saw it. I realized it by experience. But we didn't know exactly what to expect. But Dan and Debbie came. They blessed us greatly. But things were different. Our session adopted a new governance model during this time of transition. A governance model where we're focusing primarily on how do we as a session shepherd well. How do we care for the body of Christ given and trusted to us here at Briarwood. we adopted a delegated session team model, which is 9 men that were elected serving with the pastor, and they are doing a wonderful job of doing the business decision type things, the policy type things, and reporting them to the session as a whole. But overall, it has been a breath of fresh air to help us as the session. I think going forward, we're going to find now with Dr. Red getting here, he's going to get to put, and we deliberately, right, Carter, we deliberately kind of held back on defining everything about this DST, the delegated session, until the new pastor could be identified in here, because he needs to have some input on it as well. But we're excited to see what God's doing. But nonetheless, change is change. And we don't like change if we're not in control. So, I think when Moses speaks these words in Deuteronomy 31, we know that he understood this. Things are changing. He's not in control of the change. He's not going to lead the children into the promised land. Joshua, his successor, would. But it was God who was making this change. Even as he was starting to talk, he said, "It is the Lord, your God, who is doing this. Don't be afraid. Be courageous." Well, God, who is the never-changing one, is the one who changes things so that we're in position to accomplish the will that he has for us. Now, there's a whole lot of parallels that we can talk about for Briarwood right now. But we know God is at work. We should never be static. We should never be, and the moment we think we can actually tread water or stand still is the moment we're going to fall flat and not accomplish what God has ordained for us to do. There are many good works that God prepared beforehand for each one of us personally to do and for us collectively to do. And we want to continue to seek out what are you doing? Where are you leading? Where are you going? How do we stay on track with you? You know, remember in the wilderness, how the children of Israel moved out? When did they know to move? It was when the pillar moved. You know, if you had the cloud by day and it wasn't moving, you stay put. If you had the pillar of fire by night and it stayed still, you didn't move. But if it moved, you moved with it. And you know, that's what God wants us to be doing as well. Even as we're looking at this today about what does the Bible give us in the way of truths about walking through transition, we have to realize that this is God's church. We ask every new pastor or wannabe pastor who comes through credential, we ask every transferring pastor who comes into Evangel Presbytery, we ask him this question, who is the head of the church? And it's almost like, you know, third grade Sunday school, I think I got this one, Jesus. Yes, it is. Christ is the head and the king of the church. So we get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he also brings among us men and women who are equipped and called to help facilitate our obedience as he reveals what he wants us to do. And that's what we see even in this passage here. It's God's continuous presence with Israel and his good purpose for Israel. That is the reason that all Israel people and leaders alike needed to be reminded to be strong and courageous. I always enjoy talking with a pastoral intern. Have y'all met Shelby Myers? If you have not, boy, don't miss out on it. That guy is a gift on two shoes. He's a unique young man. And I love talking with these new guys. You know, I meet regularly with Luis Leon. We get to just talk and we get to see what God is doing. And we realize the most important thing that I've ever heard as a pastor, either in helping a young guy explore, is God calling me to be a pastor? Or even when I was a senior pastor, a solo pastor, helping elders discern, is God calling me to be an elder or a deacon? The one thing I love to hear is, I don't think I can do this. And I said, brother, I hope you never change that answer. Because if you start thinking you can do this, you ain't doing it right. And that's true. We are to rely on the Lord. You know, Randy Pope said it well in one of his books. I forget which one. He's written so many. But in one of his books that I read a long, long time ago, in another place far, far away, he said, if you're not daring to do things that are so great that you can't do them in your own power, you're not really following the Lord. I love that about Briarwood. We've been here now 8 years, and we love just looking back historically. We love looking at it present tense, and I love looking ahead at what God might yet do. You know, there's a new story about to be written of God's next chapter of what he wants to do at Briarwood Presbyterian Church, beyond Frank Parker, beyond Harry Reeder, beyond Dan Doriani, through Scott Redd, and through us. It's going to be a different day. It's a new day. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. And you know what? For some of us, because we're not in charge of that change, we need to be reminded, be strong. Be courageous. God's in this. He's got this. He's leading us through this. Let's follow him. So we can remain confident, knowing that God is the one who's going before us. The psalmist tells us we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's the one leading us out. He's the one calling us in. We can be strong and courageous as we follow him. And the we in that statement includes us all. You know, you may have only been in Briarwood for about 3 weeks. I don't know if anyone in this class is in that category, but we have people coming and checking us out and visiting with us and realizing this is the church where God is working. I think that's a good way, by the way, to help figure out what's a good church to belong to. Do you see God at work? If you sense the Holy Spirit moving and you see God at work, that's probably a good church to keep visiting. And maybe you should become part of it. We'll talk about that later. But you know, when we come here and whether we've been here 3 weeks or 3 years or 30 years, we still need to remember God is calling us. Both those who are the followers of those who lead and those who are tasked with the role of leading, he's calling us to be strong, to be courageous, to boldly follow him wherever he goes. We know from Ephesians 4, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And Christ has graciously given us Dr. Scott Redd to become our new lead pastor. You know, that was even a little bit of a conversation that went on around. We were calling him the new lead pastor, not senior pastor. That's a change. Y'all may not have voted on it. I didn't get in the conversation on it, but you know what? That's a deliberate change. That's good because God's moving ahead in a new direction. So what are some practical ways? Practical ways that maybe we can prepare ourselves to follow God faithfully throughout this period of transition, because newsflash, the transition ain't over yet. Dr. Redd's going to get here in a week or so. He's going to be in the pulpit August 3rd, both services in the morning and at night. August 10th, we're going to install him as our new lead pastor. But the transition is ongoing. It's continuous. And by many ways, by many measures, I hope it never feels like it ends. You know, church revitalization, we're kind of known for that here. We're known for what used to be Embers to a Flame. Now it's the Lampstand Conference. I don't know a church that doesn't need revitalization. No. There's something in every church that needs to get a new energy and a new focus and a new fire in the belly so that we're equipped and ready to say, God, what do you want? Whatever it is, I'm here. Here am I. Send me. So we're going to have that with Dr. Redd coming. But what are some practical things? What might actually help us remain faithful as we seek to do the Lord's work, whatever it is and wherever he leads? Well, the first thing is very basic, and you could teach this lesson yourself, right? Right? Right. You know what prayer does? A couple of things, of course. Prayer expresses our dependence on God to do what only he can do. Prayer also aligns us with God's ways so that when we ask something that he has brought us to understand this is his will, he will answer it. Prayer has never once changed God, but prayer many times has changed people who are praying so that they're aligned with the purpose of God and they're ready to do the work of God the way God wanted it done in the first place. Moses, he interceded for the children of Israel. You know, that rascally bunch that never quite wanted to obey. God said, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses, no, Lord, your name, your reputation. Got him where he wanted. God led him through that circumstance so that Moses saw the role of intercession and leadership to be what it should be. Willing to argue with God, blot out my name if that's what it takes, but don't sully your name, O Lord, before the pagan nations. So pray. Paul calls us to pray without ceasing. Jesus told his disciples they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And again, I know as a class, we are a class that loves to pray. And there are a whole lot of other prayer warriors and other classes throughout this church. We are a church that prays, and I do believe much of what we see that's healthy in Briarwood Presbyterian Church and all the ministries and all the impact that we have is because we're standing on the shoulders of all those who prayed before us some 60, 70 years ago. Pray. Lift up holy hands with and for each other. For all the ministries that are taking place, we've already highlighted a couple of them this morning. For each person that's called to lead in any capacity, and for every person who's called to follow the lead, we need to be praying. Pray that we'll have soft hearts. Pray that we'll be open to whatever it is God wants to show us he's yet to do. You know, I'm guessing that when ballet started here, that probably raised a couple of eyebrows, didn't it, back in the day? Yeah. I've watched it raise eyebrows around the greater church community still. You know, you have what? You know, yes, we do. And it's glorifying God. You know, it glorifies God. Well, God may have something that we haven't thought of yet that's just going to be equally mind-boggling to those who God gives the idea to. But if it's from God, we ought to do it. Whatever it is. If it's from God, we ought to be willing to say, you know what? Blood, sweat, tears, my pocketbook, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm with you. And we're going to make sure that, whatever that is, takes place. Well, we're going to give you the praise. I love Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. That ought to be on the front and center in every one of our hearts, souls, and minds as we continue to follow the King of Kings and Lord of Kings. So pray. Stay in his word. Last Sunday, Pastor Clay Young Park just did an incredible sermon on the gatekeeper, Psalm 1. Psalm 1 tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Pray, stay in the word. When we're praying, we're actually praying back to God many times, the very word of God that he's been teaching us through. Pray, stay in the word, remain humble. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, for all eternity, he will be the creator, we will be the creature. That's humbly. And that's his plan and his design. Paul tells us, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You know, God gave you a gift. He gave you measures of faith. Whatever your measure of faith is, you don't have to have the same measure of faith that Dan Doriani has or Scott Redd has, but you got to have the measure of faith that God gave you, and you need to do it full on. Pam often taught our girls, you know, you don't have to work as hard as I am, but you better be given the same 100%. You don't have the skills yet or the ability yet to pour it on like I'm doing, but you better be giving me your all. That's what the Lord wants as well. Make sure we're giving him our best. Philippians 2, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more successful than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in a human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. There's humiliation. Utterly denying ourselves. It can sometimes feel like you're dying, doesn't it? You don't get to defend yourself or speak for yourself or say, but what about? No, you just get to serve the Lord. There's no higher calling. There's no higher calling. We get to serve the Lord. So pray, stay in the Word, be humble, be patient. Scripture calls us to bear with one another, forgiving one another, and realize how, when we realize just how patient God has been with us, look back on your spiritual journey. You know that point when God actually brought you to saving faith? He brought you to where you realized you needed a Savior. Now look how far you've come since that moment. But it didn't happen overnight. It took tons of time and tons of effort and God whittling away and sanctifying. If God can be that patient with me, shouldn't I be patient with others? Also be an encourager. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. And Hebrews adds, and all the more as you say the day, drawing you out. Pray, stay in the Word. Be humble. Be an encourager. Be patient. And listen to what Kevin DeYoung tells us. Kevin DeYoung, he's a pretty prolific writer. He loves to challenge us practically, I think, in ways that just kind of cut to the chase. He wrote a book, Why We Love the Church, subtitled, In Praise of Institutions and Organized Religion. I just stuck with just the title. But that's all right. Why We Love the Church. Here's what he says. Find a good church, a good local church. Get involved. Become a member. Stay there for the long haul. Put away thoughts of revolution for a while and join the plotting visionaries. Go to church this Sunday and worship there in spirit and truth. Be patient with your leaders. Rejoice when the gospel is faithfully proclaimed. Bear with those who hurt you and give people the benefit of the doubt. While you're there, sing like you mean it. Say hi to the teenager no one notices. Welcome the blue hairs and the nose ring. Volunteer for the nursery once in a while. That's that purple thing going on right now. Thank you, Kevin. And yes, bring your fried chicken to the potluck like everyone else. Invite a friend to church. Take the new couple out for coffee. Give to the Christmas offering. Be thankful someone vacuumed the carpet. Enjoy the Sundays that click for you. Pray extra hard on the Sundays that don't. And do not despise the day of small things. Thank you, Kevin. You know, I have to add one word of my own before we take time to pray. Welcome change, no matter how it looks. In whatever ways God brings it, no matter what direction He leads, trust Him, be strong and courageous. Leave no room for fear or disappointment or doubts to derail you. Faithfully continue following Him. I want to end just by taking a moment to pray. I'd like to ask someone, raise a hand quickly to pray for Scott and Jen Redd. Who would do that? Quickly. Going once, I'll point. Thank you. I'd like someone else to pray for Naomi, their 21-year-old daughter, and for Mary, their 18-year-old daughter, who now go to college without having mom and dad nearby. Who will pray for them? Nancy, will you? Thank you. Naomi and Mary. Okay. And then the three daughters that will be moving here with them, Charlotte, Catherine, and Donna. They are 16, 14, and 10. They're all going to be at Briarwood Christian School. Would you mind, Bill, being the one that will pray for them?
What were their names?
Their names are Charlotte, Catherine, and Donna. By the way, I'm working hard to make sure I know their names when they hit the ground. Nothing says I care about you quicker than I know your name. By the way, you can help yourself. You know these little things many of us have on here? When you go talking to that new pastor and his bride, make sure you got it on and just reintroduce yourself a half a dozen times. It doesn't matter, 12 times. I don't care. Just say, hey, Dr. Redd, I'm so glad you're here. I'm Jim Alexander. Hey, Jim, I know. Good. Well, when he says I know 4 times, I'll believe him. But, just reintroduce yourself. Help them get to know us. All right. And then let's also pray for everyone called to lead here at Briarwood. And let's pray for everyone who's following here at Briarwood as well. So whoever has Scott and Jen, would you start us off? And let's pray just briefly. Loud and clear so we can hear you. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we do thank you, God, that this is not a decision made by man, that this is the decision that you made and you led. And God, we are just excited exciting to see a transition, something new, knowing that your faithfulness never changes. Your mercies are new every morning. God, we thank you for Scott and for Jen and for the wisdom and the preparation that you have already given them. And Lord, we do pray that you will quickly knit our hearts to theirs and theirs to us. Lord, I pray for goodbye, as they are not leaving a place that they wanted to leave, but they're leaving because you called them elsewhere. I pray, God, that you will just give them precious last moments in their home and with their friends and with their colleagues. And then, God, would you provide all that they need as they come. May we love them well. May we encourage them. And, Lord, I pray that they will just immediately feel a part of this thing. We thank you. And, God, would you just go before them and behind them and help them in Jesus.
Lord, I just pray for Naomi and Mary. Lord, I do like saying that. Thank you so much that you are all becoming and becoming. And I thank you that it was so clear in so many ways, and that thank you all. And Father, I just pray you would undergird that whole family, especially Mary and Naomi. Lord, I pray you would comfort them and take away fears if they feel like it's going to be really hard being so far from your family. I pray that they would go back and get into the front of this with confidence and joy and see what we're going to do. Father, I pray that they would be on board to the mission of this death and the family, to really want to be a part of our world and support them. I pray that you would comfort them and say, through their main home, Lord, I know how much it meant to me to go home during the office and be born to a different city and a different place and different people. And I just pray that you would undergird them and comfort them and reassure them of your presence. And Father, help them to be on their way. Just make the way smooth for them as they go into school for them. Give them great friendship, strong believing that and mentors and just guide them to be good. And bless them and make them now.
Father, that's up to you. And thank you for Scott and Jen and the whole family being called for our Lord and for you working in their hearts and in their lives to bring them to this point. And Jim, transition for us, it's a big transition for them as well, Lord, especially their daughters who will be coming here and still being in school here. We pray, Father, for Charlotte and Catherine and Donna as they enter into school here and church, and we ask, Father, that you would bring them quick and close friends, and that they would be assimilated and loved on by all their classmates as well as here at church. And we just ask that you would straighten the paths to bring that about. And also, I know they'll be plugged into a number of different things here, but one of them I know is interested in the ballet, and I pray, Father, that that would work out well for her and for all of them as they come and join up with us, Father. So we trust you for that, and thank you for that, and just lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you that everyone in this room and everyone that is on Zoom right now, and everyone who is part of your work at Briarwood, we are leaders. So we're all having impact and influence, whether it's in our homes, our workplace, our communities. And we also, Lord, are those who are following. So let us be found faithful. Make us strong and courageous. Bolster us. And let us follow you well, holding everything open-handed, holding things loosely, and excitedly looking for what you would do next. And we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.